Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. Just make me a sanctuary. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody out. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading from 2 Peter 1. I'll try to read the first four verses, 2 Peter 1. Just remember, we'll be leaving in the morning, about somewhere around 8:40 out of Atlanta, and then should be back in Tuesday at about 8:30. So remember that, and just keep us in your prayers. Their holiday is always on the Friday, and so we'll be there. But I just talked with Brother Reed. It kept bearing on me to call him, and I called him, and he said they were going to have a funeral on Sunday. So maybe I won't be preaching very much, and that's good too for me. But you know, just remember, it's one of the sisters in the church, elderly sister. So just remember and just pray for us. The Lord would bless it. We'd always speak what He wants us to speak. And that would be the main point. So 2 Peter 1, Wade will be speaking on the Sunday services. And Brother Aaron, the Lord willing, you'll be here Wednesday. Right, Brother Aaron will be speaking next Wednesday for us. We'll go ahead and get those announced. I think Brother Harrison, Sister Harris is going up to Brother Richards this weekend, so remember them and just keep keep each one of us in your prayers. Father, we love you. We thank you for all things, and we're so glad that you give them to us freely. We don't have to pay any price or do any kind of a repentance or anything for you to fulfill your word. But then when we do, you come on the scene and bring to us what we have need of. So forgive us of our many failures, and we know that we fail you continually, and just let your light shine in our heart, and just keep us, Lord, in your love, and guide each one now. Bless us as we read your word, and you come and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now remember, this is not to the world, this is to those that are already in Christ Jesus who have the new birth. All right. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, that ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've been trying to speak about, this is message number 6, and we're trying to talk on the stature of a perfect man, and we've spent quite a while talking about the new birth. So I hope that it's been helpful to you, you know, and all that we've been trying to do it, and we've been trying to cover it in every way to where that those that are on internet can see what we believe, And as one true Christian, I believe in that you must be born again. I don't believe that you just come into the message and claim, you know, that you were already born again. You know, you didn't need this, you didn't need that. You come into the world with eternal life. You know, no, I still just believe that you must be born again. And then being born again, that gives you the nature of Jesus Christ that would come and live in you. You know, so we appreciate it. Amen. I keep looking back and seeing somebody's face back there, but hey, good to see you. But now, we've got, as I said, we've covered a good bit on the new birth. What is the new birth? It's the birth of the Word. See? Just as a natural child must be conceived and be a seed, you know, conceived in the mother's womb, and then grow and come forth and produce a child. See, we believe then that a spiritual child comes the same way. That, you know, we must have the birth of the Word. And I believe the new birth has been the same in every age. I keep repeating that. I don't care what age that you want to call it or whatever you do. So you say, yeah, but this was that and this was that. You're talking about evidences and things like that. I'm talking about a new birth. I believe the new birth has always been the same, because why would you have a new birth in one age one way and a new birth in another age another way? The only thing that you can do down through the ages is see that the birth of the Word for that age would be determined upon how much Word was in that age. So then the new birth in the days of Martin Luther was the just shall live by faith. But that was the new birth. That was the way into the body of Christ. And that would be the new birth, which would be the birth of that Word of justification. Alright? Now, then, coming to seeing it like that, we can connect it together and realize that, you remember we taught on a message called being born again. Because see, I don't believe the new birth ends just when you get born again. I believe that's just the beginning. That's just like a baby being born. That's just the beginning. It's not the ending, it's just your beginning. Alright? See, and that's where you become a new creature in Christ Jesus by the new birth. All right. But being born again is a growth development throughout your life, you know, and that comes by the receiving of the Word. And how much Word you can receive determines how much growth development will be made. That's just like we've always tried to explain the difference on the day of Pentecost. There was 120 in the upper room that had been tutored by the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years. So when they receive the new birth, they receive the new birth, the one where you see it on the pyramid, where it says Holy Spirit, right there above, brotherly kindness, but they didn't have the headstone. Prophet said it hadn't come yet. It's to come in this last day. This would be the introducing of the headstone in the end time, the message of the hour. Right? And see, when they received that new birth, it birthed what Word they had. See? You know, that was the Word, the birth. But the 3,000 outside, they only heard one sermon. Right. Well, what kind of a birth would they get? Right. See? They would be, as it says in 1 Peter 2 and 2, that newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word. See? And that would be where it would be, see? We think that we are full grown a lot of times when we're not. That's our problem. See? This is what I want you to see. It's just like what I got wrote here. Just because we're born again, see, having the new birth, that does not mean we have all these virtues. Right. It doesn't mean that, because if it did, why would you have any growth development? What would you have any need of anything? All right. See, but we think, see, that when we get all when we receive the Holy Ghost. That's a good Baptist doctrine, but it won't fit the Scripture. Because how could you say being born again? How could you say that by Peter and them if that would be true? All right. But see, we're newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word. And then Paul asks us in Ephesians, says, after you heard the Word, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. After you heard the Word. So then the sealing is when you hear the Word, the birth, and that's your sealing. And then you got Ephesians 4:30. It's in baby form, yes. It's in partial realization, true. But still it is, puts us in the body of Christ. Now you don't get in the body of Christ today in this age just by believing or just, you know, whatever. You got to go through all of the stages to come out to the new birth of this age. Why? Because more Word was brought. As more Word is brought, more is required. Then here's the age we live in. The age we live in, the full mature Word is here. The full Word. All right? That's why the prophet would talk like he would on Statue of a Perfect Man, for instance, and he'd say, he'd tell you you were born again at faith, and he'd tell you all about it. Then after a while, he'd get up there to, like, godliness or something, and he'd say, you come all this way and ain't got the Holy Ghost yet. Well, see, that confuses people. One group says they got everything, you know, when they believed it. The other group says, no, we didn't get nothing. Well, I differ with both of them. All right? That's just the way I believe it. I believe when you're born again, you're a babe in Christ. All right? I believe that. And then when you're a babe in Christ, see, then you go forth as a natural baby does, eating until you become full grown. Well, that's what's happening to us now in the eating of the spiritual Word. All right. But see, we think we get it all. But we've got to grow into it. All right. Now, even the Lord Jesus, Luke 2:51-52, even the Lord Jesus grew in stature and wisdom with God and man. Amen. He didn't come in claiming everything. He became the fullness of the Godhead bodily on the River Jordan. Right. We believe that, see. But you see, he couldn't die for you when he was a baby because he couldn't be your Messiah. He couldn't die for you even at when he was 13 or whatever, you know, with his mother there, you know, rebuking her. It was a time. And that's the way it is in the Word. See? Luther and them wasn't required what we're required. But we're required all of it. So then you say today, well, I just believe it, Brother Dale. Well, amen. Just don't stop believing. Right. Ask God to do something about you believing. Until it's quickened, see, you know, unto you. Because I'm talking about the birth of the Word now. When I'm talking about the birth of the Word, I'm talking about a revelation. I proved it to you by what the prophet said, that you can only be saved by a revelation. You're not saved just because you make a statement. You're not even saved by saying, I accept Jesus Christ. You remember that one in the scripture? We say, well, we accepted him. But has he accepted you? Abraham believed God, right? But what did God do to Abraham? Has God accepted your believing? Well, brother, I don't know, but see. All right, but now listen. And getting on to what we're trying to go to, because I want to cover this point, and then we'll get into the virtues and things, because see, each one, whether it be virtue, knowledge, temperance, faith, it's called virtues, because that's God's strength, because that's what it is. Virtue is power or strength. So then the virtues are power and strength, see, brought unto us. Now, all right. Now we read here in the scripture, verse 4, that by these promises, the promises of God, the revealing of God's Word, in other words, that we could come to, in this age, see, the divine nature of God. Now, let me rephrase that to where it maybe will help you understand. See, the word divine means God, right? Because there's only one divine. Now, we're using that in the highest form that can be used of the word divine, which means eternal. All right? So divine nature, you're not talking about just the nature of a man. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Jesus didn't receive these virtues. He was the virtues. All right? Now, he didn't receive them. So I make those little statements to where you'll think. Now, Jesus, in his growing in grace and knowledge, grew in understanding of the Word. Amen. But he never had to receive the virtues. Why? Because he was those virtues. All right? Now, sure, he grew in how to understand and use them. But it shows that he had the strength and the power even to rebuke his mother about what she was saying because she was off the Word. All right. But now get the point, see. He never had to receive the virtues. He was those virtues. All right. But now you and I, we had to first receive the new birth. Then we could receive the virtues, all right, to become partakers of his divine nature. Now the word partakers means partner. It means fellowship, companion, or in other words, to share in anything. All right, that's why it says that we're joint heirs. Is that right now? The Bible says we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So, he had the virtues. Alright? So we must have them. God expects us to have them in this age. They were not expected in other ages and times. Alright? But we have to become into the nature of Almighty God. And Jesus was the Father made manifest. So he never had to receive the virtues. He was the virtues of God. He was the life of God. Why? Because he was Almighty God. He displayed the divine nature of God. He displayed it. Alright? Now, that's why when we want to finish, we'll sing to be like him. Because Brother Brown said if there was any song that he ever loved the most was that song, you know, to be like him. Alright? But now, get what I'm getting to now. He didn't just have to receive the virtues. He was the virtues on display. Alright? So as you and I become partakers, we become partners, we become joint heirs. Now joint heirs means everybody is the same. So now if it just said joint heirs, then we'd all be the same. Right? But it didn't say it that way. It said joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, so that puts us into a divine condition. The new birth brings you into a divine condition. Eternal life. But we want the nature of our Father. Right? We want the nature of our Father. All right. Now, God expects us, I gave you a few quotes there, you know, from the prophet. He expects us to have these virtues, but not only have the virtues, but they must be on display. All right. Now, the title of the message is number 6, Divine Nature. All right. But see, he expects us to have them. He expects us to be partakers. Now that doesn't mean take part like you take a part. We're not just a part. If we're born again, we're the children of Almighty God. Amen. All right. Amen. Now, sure, you receive by the new birth. You receive as a baby the nature of God. Because that's what it does. It washes us out of our old things. It brings us new desires. It brings a new nature within us. All right? That's wonderful. But we want to be partakers of the divine nature like he had. Not to just be satisfied with being babes in Christ. But to grow up in him, the scripture says, who is the head of all things. All right. Now, in this age we're living, we are to be partakers of his divine nature all the way to the headstone. All right? To be divine, the nature, I've got something that the Lord spoke to me the other day about something on the token, and I'll probably get on it when I get back from Jamaica, but we've got to be partakers of his divine nature. Now that doesn't mean the headstone nature is any different than the cornerstone. No. The headstone nature is the same nature. But it just brings the individual to a position that no one has been in this life. Even to the disciples. That's where we're heading to. That's what these virtues will bring us to, because it'll be the virtues of that headstone, see, which is not different now from the cornerstone. The faith of the fathers had the virtues of Almighty God, right? We believe that. But they like the headstone. So then the headstone will be something that will be in our day that you and I must be partakers of. Everybody says we're headstone people, we're this, we're that and the other, you know, we're born in this age. I'd rather say that the headstone comes to the people of this age. I'd rather say it that way, that headstone comes to the people. That way, don't try to make yourself anything. It's what he makes us. All right? Now, follow what I'm getting at. You see, you can have a portion of these virtues and not even be born again. You can have a nature given, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and not even be born again. All right. And see, that's wonderful. I mean, it's good. You know. But the prophet said, I gave it to you, page 16. He said, you can have a statue of perfect. He said, you can have a portion of these virtues and not even be born again. There's good people in this world. There's people that you work around or live around or something that are just good people. And they have a portion, the prophet said, of these virtues. And not even being born again. They act good, they live good, they behave themselves, they're good neighbors. You know. Then move that up a little bit into a realm in a church situation, and you find a lot of people in the church situation of the land that have a good nature about them. But they're not born again Christians. If they were, they would come into the message of the hour or would receive the word. So you just present the word to them and they'll show. Right. But you see, you can have a portion of these virtues and not be born again. So don't get confused with the point of just, well, when I got saved, my nature changed. Well, that's good. You can even get a change of nature and a style of living and doing. That's sanctification. When that unclean spirit goes out of a man, you get new desires and things. And there's where the danger part is. You become to a position of a religious matter. You become to the point you want to go to church, you want to do good, but yet not even be born again. But see, the first thing we must do is be born again. Then God will activate, I don't know what's the best way of saying it, but he'll take that natural nature of you and use that. He'll use your natural nature. Now, I've never seen anybody get born again that got mean. But I've met a lot of people that even claim to be Christians, you know, that at least something happened to them. You agree? Now, after a while, it becomes into a religious nature, and when it does, you can turn out to be, you know, on the wrong way with it. But now watch. Blasphemous names. Number two on your notes, the prophet said, there's two different kinds of faith. There's two different kinds of virtue. There's two different kinds of knowledge and temperance and things. But see, that's where people go at it wrong. Then they look at, like he said on there, of temperance, and they say, well, we don't drink alcohol no more. That's temperance. He said, now that's not what it's talking about. He said it's that uncontrollable temper needs to be brought under control. But see, that's where most people differ on that part. But when I got born again, it just took everything away. Well, I wish we could all say that. But I don't agree with it. That may have happened to you. I'm not de-Christianizing you. I'm just saying that that's not the way the prophet taught it and not the way Peter taught it. Because why would Peter be telling people how to be partakers of these things if they already had them? But that's your choice now. He said, but Brother Dale, I know something happened to me. Amen. I've been through that with you. I know something happened to me at justification. I had an experience. That's what I've taught you. I believe in three definite stages, or whatever you want to call it, portions or whatever, you know, of justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and each one being an experience. An experience of, in Webster, is something you live through. All right. So I believe in that. But I don't believe you're born again until you get that baptism of the Holy Ghost. Here we get a nature change. Why? Because you couldn't live your own self like it was. But when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it brings His nature. And amen. Now listen, I wholeheartedly agree with it. When you're born again, it brings you into a baby form of divine nature. That's what changes you. But it's only in a baby form. And must grow up. See, as we grow. Alright. See, because then there's two different kinds. So now by hearing what is said, now I won't say but just a word on this, but I know that it's true. There is a group of people that when you go into their, belong to their group, that they have a, because I've been told, I haven't been there, but they have what they call a staircase lecture. And they have these virtues drawn out on the floor. And you have to do certain things to come to this and certain things to come to that and, you know, coming upward. Right. Well, see, that's probably better than what a lot of people believe about it. Because most everybody thinks they get everything when they believe. Or just because I spoke in tongues, I know I got it. And that's where the prophet had such a problem when he tried to preach the stature of a perfect man. He even titled a sermon one time, Where Pentecost Failed. See, because he was trying to tell those people that they didn't have everything. Now, what would you think? You sat there all of your life being taught what you're taught. Let me change it around. Let me change it like, what did you think? What did you think when you first heard of the message? And you heard of the prophet begin to tell us what we should be doing and not be doing. Right. Did your nature agree with that? May have been a good nature, But once the word crossed your path, what happened? I just don't agree with that. He's just like old Paul. He's just a woman hater. You know. Now, come on, sisters. Am I telling it right? Is that what happened? You didn't automatically just jump up and holler, "Amen, Brother Brown's a prophet, I believe it." No. Us brothers didn't either. No. Because we thought he was just like Paul. That he had a bird to pick with the women because it seemed like he picked on them all the time. But come to find out, he was the greatest thing could ever be. Because he was telling the truth. But our nature didn't agree with that, did it? Well, now that's the reason I would check to whether or not I had the Holy Ghost before I come in the message. I know that don't suit right with you, but I'm just honest. I would check to see whether or not that Holy Spirit in me agreed with the Word. Or did it take a long time and maybe a Holy Ghost coming later to show us the truth? I would think about those things. Because you can have two different kinds, he said. All right, now if it's possible to have, we're talking about on blasphemous names and on the portion of these virtues. But on blasphemous names, he's talking about two different kinds of faith. Now what is he saying about two different kinds of faith? Two different kind of virtue, two different kind of knowledge, two different kind of patience. You know that if a person had these things just in the natural, it'd make a good person. Right? That would just have a natural nature of faith, a natural nature of virtue, a natural nature of knowledge. So evidently it's possible to do that. But now here's my question, my point, all right? Could it be that that's what we have accepted as being not the first part of the two different kinds, but have we accepted the, we'll call it the second form of two different kinds, you know. Stage one of two different kinds would be just a natural person that would have a natural, you know, faith, a natural virtue, a natural knowledge, them. But stage two would be the baptism of the Holy Ghost to bring us the nature of God. Well, could it be that we just have a natural nature? Could it be that we have trained ourselves? Could it be that we have been brought up in the message and that it's not a revelation? It's just a book of rules. It's just a group. It's just the fact that you could maybe birds of a feather flock together. You know, that maybe you can associate with the people of the message. Especially if you come up through Pentecost. You know, to where they were people who lived good and done pretty good. Well, I'm, you know, 68 years old. I can remember when the Baptists lived good. I can believe that. I can believe when they got together and prayed. And like I told you, I remember as a little boy and the women and the men going down in the woods and praying. And I didn't hear none of them women that, "I'm not going down there, I'll get ticks on me. I'll get bit by something." I never heard of one do it. They all went down there and you could hear them down there crying out for God to save their souls or their children. I can remember that. Well, could we be trying to mimic? I'm serious. I'm just honest as I can be to all of us. Me, you, all of us. Could we be just mimicking this thing instead of it being a revelation unto us? Now the prophet said, stature of perfect man. He said, these are godly virtues. Now that's the way he said it. What he was talking about, he said, godly virtues. Godly knowledge. Godly temperance. Godly patience. All right. But could we be just manufacturing something? Could we be claiming something that we don't possess? But we only profess, you know, profess it to be, but don't possess it. But Brother Dale, tell us how good we are. Could it be? I'd heap rather find it out here than to wait till I get there and have to answer. So I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings that you think I'm talking about you, but why would you think I'm talking about you? Rachel was always telling me, said, well, you just pick on me all the time. Well, she's going to New Mexico and going to be going out there to that foreign country for a month or so. And I told her, I said, well, I'm going to try my best to not preach about you while you're gone. But listen, church. If there's two different kinds of faith. Now, he's not talking about one going that away and one going that away, right? He's not talking about a virtue that's that away and one that's that away. No, they evidently run pretty close together. They evidently are right together. The only difference is the new birth. And I agree with what's right there. It's in the blasphemous name. I'm pretty sure what that said. He said the biggest portion of our faith is mental faith. Now, I agree with that. But I like what Brother Richard Wilson was saying here a while back about it, because this is the way I've always believed it. He just put it in simple terms. What I have revealed to me is not mental faith. Now, do you understand? What I have revealed to me is not mental faith. What you have revealed to you is not mental faith. Somewhere, we're going to have to come to a place that that statement don't apply to you and me. Right? Now, when we go out of this world in a rapture, we'll still be carnal people until the change. We will still have mental faith until the change. But somewhere, that will have to be fulfilled that will not totally apply to you and I. The bride. Because as your natural faith becomes a spiritual revelation, no longer then is it mental faith. And it's time to start confessing what the faith we have. Because that's one thing for sure that's held us, is the revelation that we have. The revelation that has been taught unto us by the prophet. And what has been taught by the fivefold ministry in this church has held this church to the position to where it's not one after all of these other doctrines. Right. So then I have to say for a certainty that maybe it's coming to a place that maybe all of our faith is not mental faith. It's a revelation of God's will and His Word. Right. Now, so you can have he goes on to, in that blasphemous name, number three, I'll give you, he said you can have a nature-given faith. A nature-given knowledge. Now that's got to be close. That's got to be close. And there's people in the world today that have a natural nature about them. That's good. They're just good people. But I want the new birth. I want God's nature. I want to be a partaker, not take a part of it. Take part in is fine, but not just to take a part of it. No. I want to be a partaker of the nature of God. to where that I won't have mental faith. The prophet said, when that word comes in, mental faith, you hold on to that word long enough, turn blasphemy this night, he said, then your mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation. Then you say, like I was bringing out the other day, you said, but I just don't have very much revelation. Well, you got enough to keep you from going out into the world, ain't you? You got enough to keep you from going to these other churches, haven't you? You know, all these doctrines and ideas, it looks good, you know. Well, something must be holding on. Let's give God the credit. All right. See, a spiritual revelation is what makes you a child of God. Because that way your Father is spiritual. You're not, not trying to be good. No. It's just taking on God's nature. And then let the word that we receive help us to grow up. Well, we heard that 30 years ago. Well, if we're around, you'll hear it in 31 years ago from there. Because that's got to be preached until somebody becomes that. And just remember the what the Scripture says. That the people would say, since our fathers went to sleep, in other words, we heard this a long time ago. Why ain't we seen a lot of change? Mainly it's because all of us are hard heads, if you don't plain language. It's just hard to die. No, I just forget it. You ain't dying like I'm talking about. I'm talking about dying a death that is a volunteer death. That, dying natural is no problem. But dying to yourself is a big one. All right. See? All right. Now the prophet said, I gave it to you on number 4 of your notes there, Statue of Perfect Man, page 24. He said he expects us to have these virtues. Now he expects us to have these virtues. All right. Now what's he done in this day? You do agree that he has brought us to fully reveal word. Now that doesn't mean we understand everything. I didn't say that. He delivered into our hands the fully revealed word. We're not expecting somebody to come and straighten Brother Branham out, are we? Or to preach us some other great fancy revelation. Or even him to come back himself and preach something different. Because Paul said, if that would be true and I come back, he said, or an angel come, he said, let it be a curse. But even to the people that are just tent ministries, return ministries, etc., you would have to agree that we need to know what is taught. It's not just sitting waiting on a bus. All right. But look what he gets down on to the message called A Guide, 1962. He said he cannot cap off. Let's read that one. This will be page 2 or either paragraph 2 of A Guide, 1962, 10:14 in the evening. Don't forget now. Always remember this, that these are the things that build the servant of Christ. Now this is the evening message after the Statue of a Perfect Man was preached in the morning. All right. It says, now don't forget now, always remember this, that these are the things that build the servant of Christ. See, faith first, then virtue. Now remember, the Holy Spirit cannot cap the building of God until these things are operating by the Spirit. All right. See? No matter what you do, see? Those are the things that build the body of Christ, those things. Now don't forget that this here is faith. First is your faith, virtue, knowledge, and so forth, is to be added to it until the complete stature of Christ is made manifest. Then the Holy Spirit comes down upon it and seals it as one body. So it's got to be operating in every person before he can come down and cap the body. Right? Is that plain language? Before he can cap it as a unit of a body, or a change would come, or whatever you want to talk about. Every individual must be positionally placed. And these virtues must be into the people being made manifest before he can cap it off. So you see what we're doing? We're holding each other up. No wonder the prophet said, one unconfessed sin in your life would cause the church to bitterly fail. And it would have to give an account at judgment. But now take what he's saying here, unless it's in the body operating. God cannot come down and unite himself with the church as a body until all of the believers are together in the body and in their place. We'll get on to adoption when we get to it. Look what he goes on to say now. Position of a believer. And look what he knew. 1955. 227a. I'd like for you to get to 1956, the intervale, and read that message. Right? Where he wants to talk to the sinner through you and all. Because remember, Brother Branham said on Stature of Perfect Man, he said, I just got this, where it says faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and all. He said, I just got this the other day on what I was going to teach. He was already teaching it all the way down. Look at it, bruised, wounded, torn, opened up his side with a Roman spear, in order that by the Holy Spirit we could be baptized into his body, partakers of his divine nature. You get it? Then you become a partaker after coming into his body, a partaker of his divine nature, Christ's nature in you. How can you cheat, steal, lie, backslide, proselyte, everything else with the divine nature of Christ in you? It's impossible. But he said, after you're baptized into the body, you become partakers of his divine nature. Didn't say when you come into the body you had the divine nature. It's after you come into the body. That's what I said, Paul and Peter and them, where we're saying being born again. Look at the next one, Reconciliation Through Fellowship, 1956. 120. Just look at the last part. He's talking about Billy Graham and the coming down. Look what I've got underlined. But man can't save you when man can only make an altar call, but it's your individual or personal faith and trust in God to plunge beneath the blood and to be filled with his spirit. And by becoming a partaker of the divine, not a partaker of the church, a partaker of the divine. The divine nature changing your own vile nature into a nature that loves God, who believes every word that he said is the truth, and accepting it as your own personal gift from God. All right. He goes on to talk about these mortal bodies even become partakers of his divine nature. Stature of Perfect Man, page 8. He goes on talking about that, page 9. He says, and the only way you can do that is to become partakers of his divine nature. Then you'll understand the reason he can't give it to you. Partakers of his divine nature. And look here. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, escaped it. See who it's to? It's to the church. Them who are in Christ and have been exalted above these things, not to be exalted himself, but Christ brought him up. To be partakers of his divine nature. Look at the last one. 1955. Approach to God, paragraph 38, right down at the bottom. You say, well, I started to be a Christian one time. Everything began going this way or that way, and I thought, my, I was better off the other way. You never did come to God, brother. If you ever really come to God and get a taste of the heavenly gifts of God, partakers of His divine nature, why, you could no more become a sinner again, unbeliever, than a stalk of corn could become a cock of earth. He said, that's right.
Amen.
To be partakers of His divine nature, to make that manifest, that's what God's waiting on.
Right.
He's waiting on you and I.
Right.
To take the position of sons and daughters of a living God.
Right.
You mean, Brother Dale, we're going to come to one of these days, a place we won't have no more trouble? Now you sure got it all messed up.
Right.
No. The further we go, the worse it's going to get. That's a promise. But see, one day that'll change. The day when we get into the position, the day we get to the place, then you'll see signs and wonders take place. Not that we're not seeing them now. Sure, we'd like to see more. But you can't make it manifest until God reveals it. Right? But if we don't start confessing it to be so, it can't be made manifest. So what's our problem? God's done what He's supposed to do. He's given us His Word. Do we study the Word or do we study what somebody else says? You're not going to get virtue, knowledge, and temperance and all out of Greer's Almanac. Now that just means that book. That's just saying that. You know. You know what I mean. You're not going to get it out of any other book, magazine, newspaper, etc. Nowhere. You watch a good movie about somebody with these virtues, but that don't bring them into you, does it? It's when you and I can become partakers of His divine nature. Let Him live in us. But I thought we was going to, yeah, we will. Brother Harris, that message he's bringing on. See, after the door of the Gentile church is closed, God will appear. There's going to be a time He's going to prove who's who. Amen. But until He comes to that, you and I sometimes have just got to hold on. And quit doubting. That's our biggest problem, is doubting. We fall back to mental knowledge. Holy Ghost knowledge will only speak and amen the Word. But head knowledge, we fall back upon head knowledge. And we look at things and we say, well, look like if you had what you talk about there at Lula, or to see more manifestation. Well, what are you saying? Wouldn't that be something similar to when Jesus was on the cross and they said, now you just come down off of there and we'll believe you. I've never been one that claimed I had any kind of anything, gifts or anything. I'm just a preacher. Trying to preach the gospel unto you to try to get you to grow into the stature of a perfect man. But in doing that, you'll come to where the prophet, we'll get to it later, where he's talking about patience. He said, have patience with God. He said, that's number one. That when you ask Him for something, and He don't immediately give it to you, He said, then everything's fine. I remember him saying something one time to this degree. He said, a no from God is a good thing. You know. In other words, you asking God about something, he says no. Well, you know, that's better than staying in a limbo not knowing about it. At least you know what he said. He said no. Is that right, Brother Gary? I'd like to even hear him say no sometime. Because at least I'd know he was telling me no. But now listen. See? We want spiritual faith, but we must receive mental faith first. God's not going to open your head and pour it in. He knows what I need. If he wants to give it to me, he can just give it to me anytime he wants to. Well, I'll just put it in plain language. You're not going to get it. Because he's not obligated to me and you. He's obligated to his word. Now, we can take his word and lay it down before him. The prophet said you can call. Now, this is his word. That you can call God on the scene. And said if he don't answer it, you call him a liar. Because he won't do what he said. Now, that's strong, isn't it? But that was the way he believed it. But sometimes, see, we lay it down and God says, no. Well, I didn't want to hear that. So we go back. We plead with him again. And after a while, he comes along and says, okay, if that's the way you want it, go ahead. I'll bless you. He said, my first answer was no. Right? See, that's the kind of nature that I want. I want the nature to know when my father says no, that means no. Now you know what it is. Come on, you kids do it all the time, don't you? Daddy says no, can't have it. You go to mama. Right? You go to mama. Mama, I want it. But what daddy say? He said, me go talk to you. So I guess he's probably all right with it, but see, you're lying like crazy. But see, instead of saying, daddy said no, that's what it means. And leave it to let him work out his way. Him to work it out, the word that to know is the right answer. But do we do that with God? Do you understand what I'm trying to get you? If you don't get nothing out of the message, you not get one thing. If the prophet is right and we believe he's right, true? That he said you have two different kind of faiths, two different kind of virtues, two different kind of knowledge. Now we can get over on one side of that and we can call all of it spiritual. Now come on, didn't Balaam? God said, don't go. Now that was God's perfect will or his nature. He told him no. But he kept on until what? He got over into the mental side. Come on, are you agreeing with me? He got into the mental faith or mental knowledges and things, and when he did, he began to try to deal with God about it. And God finally said, I ain't changing my mind, but said, if that's the way you want it, go on. You remember what the prophet taught on perfect will and permissive will? Now, he didn't say this, but I'm going to say it. He said the biggest portion of our faith is mental faith. He said that. But I say the biggest portion of what we're doing is we're trying to deal in a permissive will a lot of times. We try to deal with God about a permissive way. To try to get some kind of something to happen to where we can go ever tell everybody we got the perfect will of God. He told me. Brother Branham said, I am not going to tell you women preachers that God didn't call you. You want that quote? He said, but I'm going to tell you it's not in the Word. See, now they got in a permissive will and pushed themselves into it. So that would be a permissive knowledge, right? Come on. You see how dangerous it is to live in that situation? That's why the Bible said, I would that you were either cold or hot. See, because the lukewarm is what makes you sick. Is that right? What's the best thing to get you to vomit? Drink you some warm water. But you see, church, which side are we on? That's the whole point of the message, what I'm talking about, the divine nature of God. If we're on the side with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then he is displaying his divine nature through you and I, as much as he can. But we can get over on the other side of it, and we can have a nature given, and wind up and call that the Holy Spirit. All right. Just which one are we on? Well, I go to church, I pay my tithe, I'm there all the time, I do everything I can. Is that because that you think you have to? Or is that because of the love of God within your heart? Which one is it? This message is not quotes. This message is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And I thought we believed that the revelation of Jesus Christ would climax in bride form. I thought that's what we believed. That the bride would be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. According to what the prophet had to say about it, unveiling of God, mighty God unveiled. See, it's just not going to church and being good. Are you sighing and crying? Are you desiring more of God? Or have you got so full at Lula that you think you know everything? I've been studying on the token ever since I come in this message. I have. Because of some statements he made in it. And yesterday, I believe it was, he opened it up. He just opened up the message. Well, see, I've been waiting for 40 years. I think that's pretty good patience, don't you? Because I knew he was saying something. But the way he was saying it is so hidden until I've heard every doctrine in the world about it. The token didn't come until the evening time. That's a direct quote out of the message. But see, then they turn around and say nobody didn't have it down through. That's a direct contrary to prophet because he said they had it down through that. I've preached as much as I could see about it. Because I believe in the end time is the time to apply the token. Apply it to your home. I've applied it to this church. But there's still some more there. Don't ever think you know everything. What is that scripture? Man thinketh he know everything, he don't know. This, let me quote Brother Moat this way he used to say. He said, man thinks he knows everything, that he don't know what he ought to know. That is, he don't know nothing. That was his way of stating it. And I copied that because that's a pretty good point. If you think you know everything, then just remember, that's not God. He's not telling you that. But now for me to say that I don't know nothing, I got a problem too. That's just like there where it's in that, the statue of a perfect man. On verse 9, when it comes in to 1 Peter, there, or 2 Peter 1 and 9, where he said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. A lot of people lack these virtues, don't have them, they're blind and afar off. But if I've got one of them, if I just got faith tonight, if I'm just born again, I don't lack it. You know, I'm lacking that. I'm lacking, see, I say things and I know my words, when he gets on tape, people wonder what in the world he's saying. I don't have everything, but if I've got the new birth, I've at least got that. So he that lacketh these things, I might not have all these things, but I've got some of them. I don't lack all of them. But if you lack every one of them, in other words, if you don't have none of them, you're blind and cannot see afar off. But you see, church, partakers of the divine nature. It's not a hard thing. Yeah, but Brother Dale, I read this, yeah, amen. But just keep reading. But all I can see about the nature of Jesus Christ is just love. Well, I agree with you if you'll agree with me on this. He loved them people so much until he took a whip, planted the whip together and drove them out of the temple because he's breaking the word, then turned around and died for them on the cross. If you'll go that way. But we look at God as a dodo granddaddy. He's not a dodo granddaddy. He's Almighty God. When you get there and I get there and sit on the throne with him, there's not going to be no tears shed over somebody standing out there in front of you. Because you'll know you done told them. And your nature will be his nature will be your nature, and you'll have the same exact nature he has. And your judgment will be the same as his. Because you'll know the people turned you down. But see, we think it's all just lovey-dovey. No. It is if we know what that is. What I tried to tell you on that message is raising children. When you spank your children, spank them with the intent of trying to bring them to a condition to where that they won't be going after the wrong things. You're not beating them just because you're mom and daddy. You're trying to correct, to save them, to keep them from going in the wrong direction. You see, to be partakers, to be joint heirs with him. He made the way. Come on, brother boy. He made the way. He's given us his word. What we do will determine a lot of things. The way we act, behave ourselves will determine a lot of things. To be partakers of the divine nature of Almighty God. To let that God come and live in us. To talk to people through us. Go back and listen to that message, Intervale. They changed the title on it now, but it still had it in the book. 1956. He said, God wants to speak to the sinner through you. He wants to talk to them through you. He wants to use your lips to speak. He was teaching the stature of a perfect man way back before that he ever come up to bring that one message. But he's seen how it tied together. Let's just sing that to be like him, Brother Dick. 66. excuse me, Brother Boyd. Amen. Let's stand. Richard's not here to hold up his flashcard or what to play it in, but it says F in the book. He was laughing a while ago because he was back there copying. He's got a bunch of them laying somewhere, and he said he's going to start holding them up. Jesus, to be like Jesus, in earth I long, to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only to be like Him. From Bethlehem's manger, came forth the stranger, in earth I long to be like Him. My faithful Savior, how rich His favor, in earth I long, in this earth, not just on it, but in it, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, in earth I long, to be like Him. What about it? All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him. Serene and holy, obedient, lowly. Think about it. In earth I long to be like Him. By grace forgiven and arrived, in earth I long to be like Him. That's your desire. Anybody have a need? Like Jesus, to be like Jesus, in earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only. Anybody just have a need as we sing that chorus over again? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, like Him. Let's believe, Father. Our sister's been having some trouble. Trouble with her head, Lord. We ask You to just reach down and touch her. We know what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to hinder in every form, to attack the place that would be controlling of the rest of the body. So we ask You, Father, and we speak it in Your name, that by Your stripes, our sister is healed. We condemn this condition, and we believe that by Your stripes She is already healed. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else? To be like him. Sing it unto him. To be like Jesus. To be. Anybody else that just have a need? Earth, I. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you know that you're a Christian? Do you know? Let's pray and he'll reveal it, all right? Father, you heard our sister. She just wants to know that she's not trying to be something, trying to do something on her own, but she's trying to be what you want her to be. That divine nature, the nature of Almighty God. We pray that you would just speak to our sister about it. Maybe in the middle of the night or sometime just wake her up and talk to her, Father, and tell her about it. Tell her about it, Father. Tell her where she's at and where she stands. Because that's the greatest opportunity that we could have to know that you would tell us. We love you, Father. We thank you for all things. And Jesus is your name. Just go believe, sister, and he'll speak to you. Anybody else? I die lonely to be like him. Brother Ray was telling me, Sister Kathy was telling me that a while ago about, you remember the other day when Nicole come up and he was going to have some kind of a test in school or whatever determines your I don't know what all our C's and things that goes with it. But he wanted to pass that. And you know, he made 900. I think that's a real good, from understanding, that's a real good score on it. So, believe. Ask and believe. Childlike faith to believe. And see, that same thing for us adults. It's just believe. If you need something, just believe it. Accept it. Say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead. Noontime. It's later than you think. The bride is preparing now for to meet. Right? All things are ready now. The combined I hear. Do you hear it? He that hath an ear to hear. The evening time is here. There's darkness throughout the land. People don't understand. Looking for something. But to see that God is doing it. Said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. Everything falling apart. But yet God has promised. This is the evening time. It's later than you think. The bride is preparing for her Lord to meet. All things are ready. Right on time. He that hath an ear. You're dismissed. Just sing out to one another as you're leaving. This evil age. Father, just bless the people on the way home. Give everybody a safe journey.